Previously on the TVR show. Back at the Grayson household, it appears that Debbie has become quite fond of Mark's little brother. We'll come to find out, Mark's new little brother's name will be Oliver. But let's let Grandma and Grandson do a little bonding time, and let's take a look at what's been happening behind the scenes, most likely throughout the season, that I haven't touched upon. So assuming things get a little better between Amber and Mark in the show, we'll see Mark visit her quite often at her dorm. But some things have changed in their relationship. It's been going quite well in the comics. Like, not too bad. It's not your ideal perfect relationship, but it's not terrible either. But what we will see is Mark's little adventure helping his father on the Thraxan homeworld. I believe they're the Thraxans. It turns out Mark was there for several months. And because he made it a last minute trip, he didn't tell Amber how long it would be. And because of this, we're seeing them slowly drift apart. On this particular encounter, Mark tells Amber, "Yo, let's ditch class and let's go check out Africa." Amber's like, "Well, I have a big test." Mark's like, "Come on, you can make it up. You'd have even more time to study then. You never skip class." Mark tells Amber, "We haven't really got to see each other since I got back." And she's like, "Hello, did you say something about Africa?" And he says, "Yeah, my friend Eve lives there. You've met Eve. She invited us. You like Eve, right?" And this is where we see a little hint of jealousy. Oh, yeah. She's cool. "But I always thought she had a thing for you." And Mark's like, "Oh, Eve? A thing for me?" And he starts playing dumb, right? And maybe Mark is dumb, actually. Because when he was trying for her, she was with Rex. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't working out. So maybe he thought she legit could never have feelings for him. Anyways, these two decide, "All right, let's do it." And then they start making out and shit. And next page. "You can open your eyes now. We're landing."
Just tell me when we're on the ground."
"Here, we are. On the ground."
"Finally. You flew way too fast. It was terrifying."
"Sorry, that was like half speed for me. Anything less than it would have taken hours to get here. Sorry I'm so goddamn fast." And we see Eve. She's got a beautiful setup.
"There you guys are. Welcome to Africa.
Make yourselves comfortable."
Amber is totally excited all of a sudden. She sees the giraffe. "Oh my god, is that a giraffe?" And Eve kind of jokes around with her. "Oh yeah, I paid the giraffe to stick around for you. I was trying to impress you guys when you arrived." And then here's Mark, you know. "Oh, did you buy that house?" Forgetting that Eve has superpowers that allow her to re-atomize things. Of course she made the house. And Amber is totally shocked. "You made this?" And she says, "Yeah, I'll give you guys the grand tour." And we see them both walk past Eve.
"Thanks for bringing me, Mark. This is going to be so great. I'm so excited. I love you."
"I love you too, Amber." And we see Adam Eve is not pleased. "This is going to be fun." As she rolls her eyes in disgust. You know, she was hoping only Mark would show up. Later the next morning, we see Invincible flying around, getting a little exercise. Remember, he's starting to train. After that fight, his father told him, "You gotta push yourself hard every time, to your limit.
Push yourself to your limit!
And you'll start getting stronger." So upon returning back to the house, he hears,
"Up early, huh?"
And he's like, "Whoa, what?
Up here, silly."
And we see Eve sitting on the roof, enjoying a nice cup of coffee.
"It's so peaceful out here."
"Yeah, it's nice. I like it."
"You should move. I could build you a house."
And Mark tells her, "You know, I'm really going to think about that. Maybe after college." And Eve just, out of some leaves, creates a coffee. Ta-da! "Whoa, I've seen you bend pipe and change the density of air around you so you can fly. But this is complex. The coffee, the house, how do you do it? And Eve tells him, you know, I've been practicing. The more I do this, the more complex things I can do. I've always been able to do complex stuff, though. I like turning whatever I'm wearing into my costume. And he's like, ah, yeah, that's right. And she takes a couple of leaves and turns them into cream and sugar for Mark. Because he's picky. How does that work? It's all atoms. When you get down to it, I rearrange the atoms. And some things turn into other things. It's pretty simple, in a really complicated way. And we find out that the more she uses her powers, the more she goes to the bathroom. She's saying she goes maybe 6 or 7 times a day. And now that I think about it, do I have powers? I go to the bathroom about 6 or 7 times a day. That's before I even go to work. That's first thing in the morning. She asks Mark, so what are you doing up so early? And he explains to her, my dad told me my powers would increase if I pushed them to their limits. Like exercising. So I'm going to get up every morning and fly as fast as I can, as far as I can. It should make me faster. I haven't quite figured out how to increase my strength. I'm going to talk to my boss about that. And she's like, what? Because remember, the last time Eve saw Omni-Man, he was killing a bunch of people on Earth. You talked to your father? When? He was on that planet I went to with the bug people. Bug people? Yeah, the planet where my brother's mother came from. Where I got my little brother. Little brother? She's starting to sound like Danny DeVito. And I'm sorry, guys.
Anyway, I started blasting. Bam, bam.
So, looks like I got a little explaining to do. And she's like, a little? Where do I begin? Science Dog came to my house. An hour and a long explanation later, Mark explains everything and how they took his father at the end of that insane battle. Eve asks Mark, you know, do you believe your father that he changed his ways? And Mark says, you know, that he honestly does. He believes him. Kind of. But he's more worried about the Viltrumites potentially executing his father. He has to change the subject, and quickly we see it go somewhere else. Eve asks Mark, so are you guys fighting a lot? Between him and Amber? He's like, not a lot, some. And she's like, how is that? She's trying to instigate a little bit. I don't know, fine, what do you mean? I mean, I don't know. Can you relate to her? I mean, there's a lot of differences there. I think that's what my main problem with William was. We didn't relate, you know, at all. And she starts saying, you know, Amber doesn't have powers. I got powers. And she explains how when she tried to explain things to William, it just didn't come out right because he's just, you know, normal. And she points down to Amber, who just came out of the house. And she's like, you know, he was one of them. And so is she. I mean, just look at her. She doesn't look up. You remember we were changing into our costumes behind the dumpster at school. Remember? You asked, how do we fly out of here without being spotted? I told you that these people never look up. That's just how it is. They're blind to our world. How we live. The stress. The pressure. They don't want to be in our world. That's why they never look up. And man, Eve is driving a wedge between Mark and Amber here. And I mean, you know, if you guys are like me, I want to see them together more than Mark and Amber, right? And, you know, she's doing her thing. This is how some people are. This is how some people are. And dare I say, it appears to be working. But then Amber looks up. Oh, there you are. And Mark looks over at Eve and she's kind of like pissed. He's like, never look up? And they casually fly down to go talk to Eve. So while Mark and Amber are staying over, a little problem arises and a big herd is about to run over a village. Mark and Eve take care of it. And they kind of leave Amber behind and it makes her realize how out of place she is compared to these two. In fact, she's seen as such a weakness that Mark quickly rushes her back to help Eve take care of the situation. Amber can barely breathe because of how fast he goes. But afterwards, they have a huge feast. Amber again sees how she can't really compete with Eve. Eve just manifests all this food. And on top of it, tells Amber how all this food is so delicious and she's been experimenting on it. It has the same nutrients and calorie content that would be extremely healthy, but it tastes unbelievably delicious. She can make cakes have half the calories and all the vitamins of a piece of broccoli. And Amber's like, oh my God, like this is delicious. But this delicious meal is cut short when Eve's phone starts ringing. Mark, it's for you. It's some man. That's weird. Is it Cecil? Amber's like, who's Cecil? She's so out of the loop. Hello?
Your mother wants to talk to you.
Mark, help!
Mom?
She's in trouble, Mark. How fast can you get home? Click. The mysterious caller hangs up.
Eve, can you get Amber home tonight? Mark, who was that? What's going on? I mean, I couldn't do it as fast as you can, but...
Boom! Mark breaks the sound barrier.
He's already a mile in the air. Amber and Eve's hair fly up. The entire lunch flies into the air. We see Mark ripping through the sky, and he lands in front of the Grayson household.
Slam!
He smashes open the front door, never even touching down. He's still flying in the air.
Mom! Mom!
He flies upstairs. He's looking through the bedrooms.
Mom!
And we see, beaten and bloody, tears running down her face with a shocked Oliver in her arms.
Welcome home, Mark Grayson. I'm impressed. You made good time.
And sitting there, with his hand gripping Debbie's shoulder,
is Levi Engstrom.
Not able to recognize the new grotesque form Levi Engstrom has taken on, a pissed Invincible yells,
Who are you? What do you want? Why are you here? Talk!
He wanted me to get you here. I didn't know where you were. I remember Eve had called. Thought maybe she would know. I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. He hurt me.
Actually, I think he was talking to me.
Let her go.
Not yet.
I've learned a lot about you, Mark Grayson. Lots of things. I know how violent you get when you're mad. Like right now. I know you get that from your father.
Did you know your identity is public in almost 40% of the realities you exist in?
That's almost half. That means you're careless. What do you want?
And we see Debbie's eyes are starting to swell up. We don't know how long Levi has been in the house, but it appears that he's been beating her for a while.
You see this? I'm a freak. A deformed freak. So I guess it's understandable that you wouldn't recognize me when you saw me before. When you did this to me, I looked a tad more normal.
Oh, God.
That guy? That's all you remember of me? That I was that guy? I'm Engstrom Levy. The next time you forget my name, it'll be because you're dead. I had a gift. I was just trying to improve it. I was just copying the memories from my counterparts from other realities. You had to halt that process. You caused the machine to overload, to explode. I was crushed. I had internal organ damage. I had to find a reality with the best surgeons to rebuild my body. The greatest minds in a dozen realities couldn't find a way to fix my brain. I will always be a freak. Bam! Because of you!
Engstrom backhands Debbie, reeling her backwards.
Mom!
Mark rushes at Engstrom, infuriated. This is insane. The most precious, most vulnerable person in Mark's life is getting destroyed right in front of him.
That's it. I'm right here. Come and get me.
And just before Mark reaches Engstrom,
that's it.
He opens a portal to another reality. Unable to react in time, Mark flies through.
Whoa!
Mark, with incredible speed still going, crashes into the ground of the new reality.
That wasn't. It couldn't be.
And we see this reality has talking dinosaurs.
Yeah, you heard me, folks. Talking dinosaurs.
Wow. It is. I can't believe it. I thought sapiens were extinct. It's been decades since I tasted their flesh.
Ah! A sapien? Really? I want it. You have to share.
No, it's mine.
And these smart dinosaurs rush upon Mark.
Dinosaurs? I've got to fight dinosaurs?
Egad, it talks.
I can do more than that. Mark dodges the dinosaur.
Get him, I want him. I want to taste.
Mark throws out a punch, and just before getting bit down again, flies back into another portal. Close one. I'm not gonna sit around and let you guys just eat.
Whoa!
Welcome back, Mark Grayson.
Your brother here's very cute. I actually like his color. You know, I haven't encountered him in any other reality yet. Isn't that interesting? And we see Angstrom holding Mark's extremely vulnerable little brother. If you hurt him, I swear I'll...
You'll what?
Hurt me? Sure. Of course you would. Don't worry. Though, their well-being is really up to you. It's you I want to hurt. I want to hurt you very badly. No, your little family is very safe as long as I don't determine that the only way to hurt you is to hurt them. Ultimately, I'd like to kill you. So I've got a plethora of realities handpicked to send you to hurt you, to eventually kill you. And Angstrom throws Mark's little brother into the air. So do your family a favor and die.
No!
Mark again rushes to attack Angstrom and again rips through another reality.
Whoa!
Bam! Mark slams into the back of somebody that appears to have metal octopus appendages. And if we look very closely, just to the right of the portal, we see a hand with a red glove with black webbing around it, as well as a foot.
Krashoom!
Mark, having reached an incredible speed to get to Angstrom, continues forward and slams Dr. Octopus into a building.
Are you okay? I'm really sorry. I'm not from this dimension. I was fighting this one guy. It's a long story. I didn't hurt you, did I?
And it appears Mark is now in the Marvel Universe, having just interrupted a fight between Spider-Man and Doc Ock. To be continued.